Hello to everybody from around the world. Welcome to the Retail Wavemakers, a Sea Trade Cruise Talks podcast. My name is Nadine Heubel. I'm the Global SVP Revenue at Reclaim, but today I'm talking to you as the Retail Ambassador for Sea Trade. Retail has been going from strength to strength in the cruise industry, and I'm grateful for Sea Trade to have acknowledged this development by creating a Retail Ambassador role, which I am honored to have been appointed to. Part of my responsibility has been to create further awareness for this exciting sector amongst cruise industry peers. And what better way to do it than creating our own podcast, the Retail Wavemakers Podcast. What was supposed to be a mini-series ended up being much more than this. We are now already in our third season. This season is all about the heroes on board the ships and their interaction directly or indirectly with retail. We have a lineup of amazing guests, and we will hear from them firsthand about life on board, their interaction with retail, and their view on cruise retail. And we will also get a little personal with our rapid-fire questions at the end of the podcast, like we always do. Today, I would like to welcome Daniel Buergo. He is presently a senior district manager for Starboard Cruise Services, where he is responsible for driving revenue across 19 ships on 3 cruise line accounts. He comes from a land-based retail background with over 28 years of experience. Daniel began his retail career with a limited brands, managing their flagship stores in South Florida. He then joined Giorgio Armani Group and became district manager for the Armani Exchange Division, overseeing the South Florida and Puerto Rico region. Prior to joining Starboard, Daniel worked with the Bull Chance Group as district manager, overseeing their Pandora jewelry franchises in Miami and the Caribbean. Welcome, Daniel, to the show.
Thank you, Nadine. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure, and it's a special pleasure to have a true Miami native here with me on the show, as Miami became my hometown. So I'm always very happy to meet people who are actually from Miami and spent their life in Miami. And I'm sure also seen a huge development and huge change happening in Miami.
Absolutely. It's amazing how the city has grown. Every time I fly in and I see the skyline, it just blows me away.
I agree with you. But so let's now get right into the questions. It would be actually great if you could share with our listeners the scope of your responsibility. We talked about 19 ships with 3 different brands. So which are those brands? Which are those ships? How many team members are under your care? And anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I oversee the Norwegian Carnival Cruise Line and Virgin Voyages account for Starboard. So yes, 19 ships in total and growing. Overall, I oversee 344 team members. Luckily, I do have the assistance of 2 fleet district managers, which is Edgar Carrizosa and David Kashmirzu. So they help me in terms of dividing and conquering across the 3 different fleets. What's great about David and Edgar is that they're both success stories of the career pathing that we have here at Starboard, because they both started as, you know, shipboard team members. They then were promoted into management on the ships, and then now actually have been promoted to district manager roles. So it's always great to see our shipboard team being able to move up the ranks.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this kind of stories. And I always feel that this kind of stories are more likely to appear in a retail environment. I think there are a lot of amazing retail careers. And I think it's great to see that a company like Starboard, that you really embrace retail careers for frontline employees. So that's a great story to talk about. So as a district manager, I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm saying something wrong here, but I always feel I imagine that you are the glue between Starboard headquarters in Doral and then your shipboard team, your 344 people working for you. How do you actually, in your day-to-day work, how do you ensure that the interests of both sides are aligned and balanced?
Well, first of all, you are correct. We're definitely that in-between. And really the alignment comes through our North Star platform, which is what defines the essence and the purpose of the company, which is to curate a vibrant world. That purpose helps ensure that the values, commitments, and the design principles are shared by both shipboard team members as well as the home office employees. And the way it does that is it really just kind of drives our decision making. It helps to align our goals, and it just keeps us speaking the same language.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And I have to say that, you know, from different touch points within the Starboard universe, I really hear a lot about Create a Vibrant World. So even for somebody like an outsider like me, that's a North Star, which I could repeat if I was asked about the Starboard value proposition. So I think that's amazing that this is really part of your work and your philosophy on a day-to-day basis.
I'm glad that it's resonating.
It absolutely does. No, definitely. Maybe you can tell us also a little bit about what is a typical day of a district manager? What does a typical day look like?
You know, being on board ships is always my number one priority because that's the best way I can support my teams. So on the typical day, I'm usually running through an airport to catch a flight to take me to the next embarkation port somewhere in the world. Once I'm on board the ships, a typical day is, you know, we start each day off with a kickoff meeting with the team. And that's our opportunity to really celebrate the successes from the previous day and then make sure that we have our targets set for the new day that's starting. During the voyage, you know, I'll complete a shop walk audit. It's just a way for us to make sure that all the critical parts of the business are consistent and to standard. And it also helps make sure that all of the district managers are really looking for the same things, so our teams know what to expect. You know, when the shops are quiet, I make sure to have one-on-ones with our team. To me, that's super important, you know, and some of it is business and some of it is just, you know, how's life? How are things back home? It's important to carve out that time because I may not see the same ship, you know, for 3 or 4 months again. So I really like to take advantage of that time. And then the rest of the time, I just love being out there on the sales floor, engaging with the guests, attending the shopping events that our team hosts, and really just seeing the magic happen.
Sounds great. How many days of the year are you on the road?
I am typically traveling about 70 to 75% of my time.
Wow.
We launched 5 ships in 6 months.
Oh.
So...
It's fun, but it's a lot of work. But isn't it great when fun and work kind of merge?
Absolutely. My friends are always jealous because I'll post pictures on Instagram and say, here at work, and there's a glacier behind me. They question whether I'm working or not.
But being in the industry, I think we both know that it's a lot of fun, but also a lot of hard work.
Absolutely.
When you are on board and when you are sailing, you just mentioned that you spend a lot of time really with your team and with the guests as well. But what are your interactions with the other departments and functions on board? Do you work closely together? And yes, and I assume yes, how do you work with the other functions on board?
Building relationships with hotel operations, onboard revenue, and the entertainment team on board is critical to the success of the shops and to really creating a seamless experience for the guests. On a weekly basis, I'll have a touch base call with the revenue managers from each of the cruise lines. And that's really an opportunity for us to discuss the business trend for the month. That's where we'll brainstorm on, you know, how we can improve the business. Sometimes, you know, we're creating a new event, you know, to execute in the shops. Sometimes it's pitching a new brand that we want to introduce to the cruise line. So that's definitely an important partnership. On Carnival specific, we're able to leverage our sister brand, which is Onboard Media, because they have the Carnival Insider, which is someone on board that is responsible for helping the guests with all different revenue departments, whether it's spa or art or shops. So we definitely leverage that opportunity to make sure that, you know, the guests are aware of what we have on board and what our offerings are.
Great, amazing. It's also very nice to see that retail is really an integral part of onboard life and how onboard works and how onboard functions. So that's great, great to hear. And also that you have like weekly calls with the revenue managers of your cruise lines. Wow. So now switching gears a little bit and going really back to retail, So what are the current retail initiatives you are most proud of? And maybe as you have been doing this for a little while now, do you have any other concepts in mind from the past you want to share with us here? Because they really stood out as great retail initiatives you oversaw.
In terms of current initiatives, I would say the one I'm most proud of, which we touched on a little bit earlier, is really the Curate a Vibrant World. I've really loved seeing how our merchants have embraced this and have really curated some really unique products that tie into the destinations and also created some limited time experiences around those products. For example, I recently sailed on Virgin's Resilient Lady out of Greece. And on that voyage, we had invited a jewelry designer from a brand called Glendi, which is an artisanal jewelry brand from the Mediterranean. So she was on board and actually was able to share her inspirations for the pieces, the story behind the brand. And she was literally in the shop selling and interacting with the sailors.
Cool.
And really bringing a sense of that authenticity, you know, to the product. We also have something called Selling Through Service, which is the sales training that our team members go through. And that's really an integral part of creating moments that matter for guests. One of the things that I'm most impressed with when I'm on ships is how many guests will remember our team members by name from a cruise they took a year ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind, you know, and even the number of guests that stay in touch with our team members via Facebook, via Instagram. It's incredible. It really makes me proud because it shows that our team are not just salespeople completing a transaction. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really building long-lasting relationships.
Yeah, that is amazing. And this, again, goes so much beyond work. And this really shows and mirrors how much fun people have in their work and how much they identify with the work they do.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool. And then maybe based on this follow-up question, in your opinion, what is the secret sauce to work well on board a ship as a team, as a retail team?
I think really the secret sauce is embracing and leveraging the diversity of the team. You know, our guests are from all over the world and come from all different backgrounds, and so does our team. So, you know, really being able to bridge those gaps and to forge those relationships by embracing that diversity, I think is key. And I would say consistent and transparent feedback. And we have something called the Anchor Program, which we call it our operating system. And there's a couple different components to it. One is operational excellence. And then another part of it is really accountability and feedback. So through that program, we establish a very consistent, you know, bi-weekly touch base with every single team member, where they're given feedback on how they're performing, what were their successes, where is their opportunity for growth. So I think that's critical too for that success. So everyone knows where they stand.
That's great. I agree with you. Giving constant feedback is something which is really important. I think it doesn't make any sense to give feedback once a year because, you know, you can't talk. It's too late. Exactly. And then also people have no chance to remedy what they have not been doing 100% right. So it's amazing that you have this constant feedback flow. And then I guess it also shows in how motivated the team is. And then at the end, the results they are able to achieve.
Yeah, for sure.
So now looking at our vendor community, because I know that we have a lot of vendors also listening to our podcast, what can they do to help you maximize sales on board? And at the same time, if there's anything which comes to mind which they should not do, it would be great to hear your perspective.
Sure. So I think the key thing that they can do to help our teams on board is training. And we're lucky to have some really great vendors that prioritize getting out there on the ships to do in-person training. I know that, you know, Zoom has become the medium of choice, but there's nothing like, you know, an onboard training where the vendor comes on the ship and actually sits face-to-face with the team to give them the tools to really sell the product. The other thing that I think is also very important is the vendors creating engaging activations to enhance the retail experience around their product. A great example of that is I just came off the Carnival Venezia, and that's one of the ships where Tag Heuer is doing an activation around the 60th anniversary of the Carrera watch. And we're basically creating a movie set with a backdrop studio lighting. And then a team member is dressed in a racing suit and the guest is able to sit in the director chair and take a photo and print for them. So yeah, those are the kinds of things that, you know, we can't really do without, you know, the vendor support. Mm-hmm. And they make a huge difference, you know, not only in driving revenue, which of course is always the number one priority, but at the same time, you know, creating those special moments that the guest is going to remember.
Exactly. And any don'ts, anything the vendors should not do?
You know, nothing really comes to mind. You know, like I said, we've been very lucky to have some really great vendors that support the team, support the business.
Fantastic. And then last question before we go to our rapid fire questions. Mm-hmm. If you could have one ask to the cruise lines to help make your life easier and or maximize retail sales, what would this ask be?
So I think trusting us to be the retail experts, and that's something that, you know, we're lucky to have, you know, with our cruise line partners. Just an example, Carnival has awarded us their two latest new builds, which was Carnival Celebration, which is already out in service, and then Carnival Jubilee, which will be premiering this December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very excited. And, you know, Carnival really allowed us the freedom to shape the retail experience for the guests on these ships. We were able to curate everything from the assortment selection to the marketing to exclusive, you know, ship-specific logo items that all enhanced the theme and the style of the ship. And that's the kind of collaboration that really makes the whole process mm-hmm. very seamless. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately it translates into the final product.
Yeah. So Carnival Jubilee is going to be the sixth ship, the number six you are opening this year under your watch. Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. And as it is in December, I guess it's the last ship. And I mean, six ships in a year is a lot of new ships. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, kudos to you.
Yeah, we're flying off that one on December 23rd, right before the holidays. So we're getting it in there right at the last minute.
This is amazing. Great, great finish of the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So super that we finished this also on a very high note, you know, talking about the new ship which you're going to launch. And I would be curious to hear more about it. So maybe we can do another episode where we talk about the Carnival Jubilee separately. Thank you so much, Anya. This was super insightful to better understand, you know, what your role is, how you see in general. So this was very, very insightful. Thank you so much. But now, before I let you go, let's get also a little bit personal. And are you ready for our rapid fire questions?
Let's go for it.
Cool. So what is your favorite cruise destination?
Alaska. It holds a very special place in my heart.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was my first cruise line when I started with Starboard was Holland America. So my first work trip was to Alaska and changed my life.
Love it. And I couldn't agree more with you. I love Alaska. So what is your favorite location to unwind on a cruise ship when you are there, when you have a little bit of time to rest and relax?
There's nothing like being out on the open deck at sunset. That's my corporate answer. My real answer is the martini bar.
Love it. Thumbs up. Next one, buffet or a la carte breakfast?
Neither, just double espresso.
Oh, yeah? So you're not doing breakfast?
I skipped the breakfast.
You're one of, because I could never imagine not doing breakfast. So you are one of the strange people not doing breakfast. Bingo or trivia?
Oh, definitely bingo. That's the one with a cash prize.
Super. And which cruise ship have you always wanted to visit and sail on?
So I would love to sail on one of our luxury cruise lines, like the Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection. I would just love to experience not only that next level of service, but also the really unique itineraries that they do. So Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection.
Fantastic. And when you go, I'm going with you.
We'll do a live podcast from the Ritz-Carlton.
Perfect. I love it. Daniel, this was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast episode today. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nadine. It was a pleasure.